This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Thank God it's a little cooler out there today.
A little bit cooler. It's still a fabulous place, fabulous day to live in the mid-Willamette Valley.
Man,
welcome, everyone.
It was smoking yesterday.
And 98 by my car.
I had 101 on my way home. Jeez.
So, hey, welcome to the Newsmakers, folks. Thanks for joining us for your news hour on a day in which Oregon mourns the loss of Senator Jackie Winters. Her services are today at the Capitol building. And Jackie, of course, we've mentioned her loss is a huge loss to Oregon. She is a stalwart stateswoman with decades and decades of service to the state, and a true loss to the entire state. And we sit in appreciation today of Senator Winters. Of all that she's done, from being just a member of our community and a small business owner and a wife and a mother, and then later an elected leader, and how she did so with so much intelligence and passion and dignity. So thank you, Jackie. We love you. And those of you who are attending the services today, I'm sure her and her family appreciate it. I hope there's not too much politics in there today.
I hope it's
all about Jackie.
Yeah.
All right. A lot of things to talk about this hour, actually. Important stuff. We're going to talk about gas prices. We're going to talk about transgender because everybody loves that. And we're going to talk about marijuana again. And we're going to talk about land use laws. I don't know if we're going to get it done today, Dave.
Wow. Now each one of those topics is a full 10 minutes.
Or a show. All right. So we mentioned it before. America and this area still has a really unhealthy fascination with gasoline prices. But you drive a lot.
Right? I do.
So gasoline prices really impact your family budget.
Especially since my car requires premium.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a few pennies.
There's no reason gas needs to be more than $3 a gallon.
So this is more of a national story than a local story. We're usually talking
it
about local.
It affects us,
all of our pocketbooks, yeah. Right? And so coming out of CNN, they're talking about a lot of areas in the country doing sub $2 or around. Yeah. Sub $2 gallons.
Sub $2.
Yeah. I never thought we'd see it again.
I would be shocked.
Yeah.
So, shocked if that happened here.
The barrel of oil, of course, is the main ingredient in the price. A lot of things go into what we're paying for gasoline. One is competition.
There's state taxes and city and county taxes that add to your gas prices.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The
isn't,
tax.
Isn't Multnomah County like the biggest one?
Why do you ask me questions like that?
I know. I think Marion County is pretty close to there, too.
Marion County does not have a gas tax.
Oh, thank God.
So,
wonder I buy my gas here.
Yeah, those of you who commute from up north, be sure to buy your tax in our county
right.
Or buy your gasoline. But yeah, many factors go into that cost. Of course, the bulk of which is the cost of the actual product, a barrel of oil that they make it out of. And, you know, added to that, of course, are taxes, competition, supply and demand, and all those good things. So, but we've been seeing prices fall during the summer, and summer typically goes up and stays up till Labor Day, and it's going down. I mean, people are getting used to paying $4 a gallon almost in a lot of the country. And
I'm not used to it.
So
ever. Ever.
California has dropped 23 cents.
What?
Wow. Recently, 23 cents.
That's unheard
of. That's a pretty
of.
Good chunk. So in the West Coast, you know, it has a lot to do with the distribution area, but there's some of the refineries that was shut down has come back online. Folks, if you haven't heard me talk about gasoline in the past, keep in mind our supply is tenuous. If one refinery goes down or if one pipeline goes down, there is a major, major interruption in your local gas station's ability to get a load of gas so they can sell it to you.
Right.
So when a refinery goes down because there's a fire or there's a breakdown or they need to change a formulation or any of these things, there really is a substantial interruption in production and supply. And oil companies will raise the price of their product to purposely lower demand because they don't have the product to sell. folks. It's not like that's there are mountains and mountains of gasoline. There is no like major inventory reserve that you can shut down a refinery when we can all continue to buy gas for a month. That doesn't exist.
That's just wrong.
Tenuous.
And so, what's the lifespan of gas?
I don't know. They say, you know, it can turn over the course of a year. I've had a car parked for a year and with the same gas, and it turns over and runs fine, you know.
But I had problems with my lawnmower.
Lawnmowers, small motors, you're supposed to put in that additive, the winterization, the weatherization one.
That's what I forgot.
It stabilizes the fuel. And this is a new age, folks. And now that you all know and you see on the stickers there that there's 10% ethanol.
Right.
So what you're in danger of is the ethanol separating from the rest. And that happens. I don't mean to give everybody an education on gasoline today. But,
please do.
All right. So if there's water present in the tanks, right, condensation and your tank has water in it. My tank has water. Every tank has water in it. Just because sometimes when you're half full, there's air in the tank. And what does air have? It has water molecules, yeah. Right? So you'll naturally just get some condensation out of the air in your gas tank. But if you get too much of that, say it exists and you let it park, that water can affect the separation of the ethanol from the gasoline. And that's where you'll get that sputtering and puttering, and so it's trying to fire something that's no longer flammable, right? And you're spitting that water mixture out to the thing it's no longer.
So when you step on the gas and you see water coming out of the tailpipes, same thing.
That's condensation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Anyway, so gasoline prices coming down. That's good news. And through the summer, and could fall even further, of course, right after Labor Day. Awesome. And going into the 4th of July weekend in just a couple of weeks, folks, we see spikes of usage for the holiday. People are camping, people are traveling, and so forth. And, you know, you see it beginning in March and spiking maybe to the maximum around Memorial Day. And depending on how the summer demand goes and the barrel of oil goes, we don't usually see a decline in summer, but we're going to see it.
Awesome.
Good news, right?
I forgot my celebration band.
It's really important for a person who commutes, drives a lot, and drives for fun. Mm-hmm. You know anybody like that?
Yeah, that would be me.
Okay. national average price probably decline to $2.25 a gallon.
That will never come down this low here.
$2.25. The one.
I would say it probably dropped to $3 a gallon
never
here.
Never say never. All right, let's move on.
$2.25 would be like Missouri.
Let's go from what we're putting in a tank and what we're putting in our lungs. Marijuana, folks.
Oof.
So, again, an article at the nationwide picture, but California has passed a law that's connected to what we're talking about that Oregon wants to do, right? So they are protecting potential employees.
Okay.
Who fail their drug test and saying that the employer can't deny them employment because there's marijuana in their system. Oh, I'm sorry. I did say California. This is Nevada.
Okay.
Nevada just passed this. And this is in the Oregon legislature as well. So basically they want to make it sure that people can't fail to get employment or have their employment terminated or be disciplined if they have cannabis in their system.
Wouldn't that be a drug?
It's legal. And they were trying to protect their industry, which is now cranking up the taxes, right? So, you know, is this driven by the potheads? Is it driven by, hey, this is all about fairness? Is it driven by the tax person? I tend to think that, hey, a little bit of all three, but it basically comes down to this is a legal product in our state, in Nevada, in Oregon. It's going to be a huge part of our economy. It's a new part of our economy. It's a whole new industry that just kind of sprung up and is now getting taxed, right?
Okay.
And so they can't, you know, you can't come to work drunk, right? You're not supposed to come to work high.
Right.
But if you do pre-employment in Nevada, you do pre-employment drug testing and you're positive for THC, the psychotropic chemical in marijuana, if you test positive for it, they can't use that as a means to not hire you because it's a legal product.
But if you have alcohol?
Well, they don't test for alcohol unless you're drunk on the job and you take a breathalyzer, right?
Well, there's
so
that.
There are exceptions, folks. I know you're all screaming at your radio. There are exceptions. People who are dealing with moving equipment, you know, motor vehicles, you know, things in which there are safety
heavy equipment
issues.
Operators.
you know, at the airport, we've got young men fueling multi-million dollar aircraft that rely on quality and care to protect that multi-million dollar aircraft and people's lives.
No doubt.
So that would be an exception, right? You're operating heavy machinery. You're driving a truck, all of these things. So, you know, there are some exceptions. But by and large, the rate is going is, hey, you can't discriminate. Can't discriminate against pot users.
And your personal doctor, too.
All right. So feel free to toke up at lunch today. Go back to work and tell them it's all going to be okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm always giving good advice about the workplace. Take off early on Friday and toke up during the lunch hour. Just being facetious, folks. No calls and letters.
Right.
This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave. And you're listening to 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. Governor Steve Sisolak signed into law in Nevada a new law protecting those who use cannabis who are applying for a job. His quote, "It is unlawful for any employer in this state to fail or refuse to hire a prospective employee because the prospective employee, blah, 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 failed the drug test in the presence of marijuana." So, and what I was talking about before the break, and we've got a caller because people like to talk about marijuana, but so the governor said, "As our legal cannabis industry continues to flourish, it's important to ensure that the door of economic opportunity remains open for all Nevadans." That's the governor of Nevada as they pass first law on the nation in the nation of this type. So now let's go to Rochelle and see what somebody local has to say about it. Hey, Rochelle, thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you. So I own a company that contracts with a major package courier company. I employ the drivers, and the trucks belong to me.
Okay.
The drivers cannot fail a drug screen because of our contractual obligations with that major courier.
That makes sense.
They certainly cannot. They can't be on the road drunk. They can't be on the road high.
Yes, please.
So, yeah.
Safety.
Seriously, any employer... Less.
Well, there are.
Do we have any common sense?
Yeah, there are exceptions. We went over those just before the break, but
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
But they're. No, that's all right. But they're just like what you just said. Heavy equipment operators,
motor vehicles.
I would hope that. What do you mean, crane operators too? They should be in there.
Law does not apply. This is an article out of CNN, folks.
Okay.
Law does not apply to firefighters, EMTs, employees who operate a motor vehicle. So there you go. There's that.
There we go. Okay.
And of course, your employees, they have to have ODOT commercial licenses, right?
And CDL.
CDLs.
Mine don't because mine are not over 26,000 GVW. Mine are smaller vehicles than that, but they are still large trucks and motor vehicles. So all I heard was the governor's statement said it's unlawful for any employer. I'm like, seriously, any employer?
I know.
That's a whole other story. So
it's got in America, we don't want to infringe on anybody's right at all,
right?
Whatsoever.
Well, they have the right to smoke it. I just don't have to hire them.
Right.
And
they have a right to choose whether or not they want the employment, the recreational drug. So yeah, I do employ people who. Run a truck, and you employ people that rent cars, and we have a right. And this seems kind of squishy. Obviously, it's a news article and not the law text, but it says accepted are those who are in the determination of the employer could adversely affect others' safety. I think operating a crane would qualify. Would you?
Thank you. Phew. Thank you.
Rochelle,
my doctor too. Yeah, please.
You don't want your doctor talking you up before
no.
you teach you?
No.
Prepare his judgment. Well, thank you for keeping us safe on the road and making sure that your employees are not drunk and high. Thanks for the call, Rochelle.
Thank you. All right, bye.
And if you want to join the conversation, as always, 393-1430, 503-393-1430. If you forget, you can just remember the call numbers, right? Yeah. You have 1430 AM. You're listening to it, so you can just look at your radio and you can just guess at the first three numbers.
Sure.
And eventually you're going to get us
random
there,
numbers.
All right, I'm in a facetious mood today.
Indeed.
Moving on. That's enough about marijuana and gas prices. Do you want to talk about transgender people?
Oh.
That is always an interesting topic. Gets people fired up.
You know.
So, and it's not about people. This is about the county commissioners getting themselves in trouble when they're talking about budgeting and public policy. So, article today. And at issue is whether or not we need to, we mean Marion County, needs to spend the money to host a training so staff people can adequately be trained to deal with and advise transgender, what's the medical term for it? I'll find this. Transgender individuals or potentially transgender individuals, adults, and youth. Right?
So they need special training to handle that?
Yeah, apparently. Well, they want to have the special training. And it comes back to, and we've talked about this in out here on Newsmakers, is what percentage of the population it is. And it just seems like a very, very small percentage of the population and a very, very high part of the public discourse. Right? And policy driving and public arguments. And and this is where it drives crazy, where people are trying to make policy decisions. And if it doesn't go the PC way, then they're haters. Right?
Yeah, right.
Then you need, I mean, there's even a call for one of these commissioners to step down. This is
what?
Just crazy. He's like, I don't think we need to budget for this.
We don't.
Yeah. And
I'm still confused as why they're passing laws, new laws and guidelines for this, because they're covered under current laws. For, you know, you can't discriminate against race, gender. Hello. Mm-hmm. It's covered under gender.
Sexual orientation.
Or sexual orientation, yeah. Whatever. It's all covered under that. We all have equal rights. I get tired of them coming out and demanding that they need special rights. That's just wrong for me.
So at issue was it was a training that was scheduled that's going to be paid for by Marion County for the counselors in Marion County. You know, they do have a health public health role to better diagnose gender dysphoria. Sorry, I couldn't come up with that a few seconds ago. Gender dysphoria. And so... Colin Willis, who's been on the show took office in January, county commissioner, our newest county commissioner. And he's like, he has an issue with one. Should we be hosting this and paying for it? Mm-hmm. Is this something we approve funding for?
Right.
So there's question number one, which of course the complaint, because how dare you question whether or not everybody needs to do everything having to do with this topic. But anyway, this is the budget piece and concerns that adolescents should be helped along their path for a gender reassignment surgery, right?
And wow.
Frankly, that is a good, prudent question to ask.
It's a great question.
There are so many things that are happening in brain development, folks. There are so many things happening with hormones. There's so much confusion with personal identity and sexuality and all of these things from the time our hormones start going, men and women, and so forth. And so he's like, let's just raise the question. I don't know if the county really should be in a place to help qualify somebody who is a youth, maybe a teenager, to go through this very, very serious physical transformation in this stage life, in this life stage. Well, mm-hmm. Adults is one conversation, and someone who's 15 is another conversation, right?
Sure.
Well, he's getting blasted for that.
Well, thank him for standing up, because, wow.
And thank Commissioner Brentano. If you have not spent any time with Commissioner Brentano, I've had him on the show, and we're going to have him show this in this summer. But he has a way of saying things that are somewhat direct. It's like, this is how I feel about that. If you don't like it, then I have nothing I can do about it. Moving on.
All
you know?
Right.
And Sam, if you're listening, I like that about you. So he said the same question. It's like, trainings exist. We don't have to be the ones hosting it.
Right. All right. There already is training, and it's part of their ongoing training as counselors.
Well, this is specific training. And
so
that
they don't need the specific training.
Well, the staff feels that they do.
What?
Right. So Commissioner Colin Willis, according to this article in Salem Reporter, was worried that therapists may be advocating for gender reassignment surgery in children. Okay. That's a concern.
That is a good one.
I mean, sorry, folks, not everybody in America is on board that children should be making decisions like that.
No.
Are you going to let a 10-year-old girl get breast augmentation surgery, decide for herself at 10? I don't think so.
Are
we going to do gender reassignment surgery on children? I don't know. It has nothing to do with whether or not you hate the individual. It doesn't mean that you're prejudiced. It doesn't mean that you're trying to discriminate. It's like, I think this is a prudent public policy decision. I don't know. We should think about this, and I don't really comfortable funding it right now. So but
shouldn't that be something between them and the parent and the doctor? Have nothing to do with the county.
Yeah. So we have the Behavioral Care Network's board was meeting. They do mental health programs, Marion and Polk County.
Okay.
And, you know, it's Oregon Health Plan. And a lot of these gender reassignment surgeries in our area take place at Oregon Health Sciences University. So those are the people who are going to counsel on this gender dysphoria, but they are the people that go that route towards the surgical route. And that's, you know, so I think I like it. I like it when people in a room aren't just nodding and going along with what's happening.
You're right.
I like when I've served on a board and three people vote no against 15 or 18 people that vote yes. I like that people are thinking and bringing up the objections and not just going, hey, budget considerations, one, youth is different than adults, two.
Good point.
Who's making the decisions and doing the counseling, three.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the question is, do we need to do the specialized training like you were saying?
No.
And if we do need to do the specialized training, let the state do it. Let, you know, sign up for some training, but we don't need to put it in Marion County's budget.
No.
Blasted for that.
Wow.
Blasted for that. It reminds me of a young female athlete, and I only know a snippet of this story, but she was competing against a male who was identified as a female, right? Socially identified as a female, but it's a high school athlete.
Okay.
High school athlete, and has to compete against a genetic male, and lost a state title to someone who should not be competing with women.
Right.
Right. So there's... It's one of those funny things, like, well, let's all have an open mind, and sometimes you can have your mind so far open that your brain falls out.
Yes.
It's not fair to girls to put it a genetic male just because of how they identify. You can identify socially. Maybe we love you. We accept you. You can, I don't care how you dress. I don't even care what bathroom you use. Let's go all the way. But I am not going to go with you that you should be able to compete side by side with someone who's separated. The sport is separated physiologically by the two genders.
Right.
You can't pretend that the physiology does not exist because of how you identify.
Good point.
And that the poor high school athletes, the women that have the girls that have to compete against boys in a girls' sport,
that's just wrong.
Should not be ostracized for saying, "Hey, you know, it cost me a state title because you guys all want to be sensitive to how this person identifies."
Mm-hmm.
And you can identify that way. It doesn't mean
can't compete that way.
You can't compete that way. And that doesn't make a person that objects a black-hearted hater.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Right.
Goodness gracious, folks. All right, so many fun things to talk about. I hope you're enjoying the show. We got marijuana. We got gas prices. We got transgender policy decisions happening in Marion County, and there's more. I'm Brent. This is Dave. And you're listening to 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. We have been talking about decisions. Actually, a complaint was filed against County Commissioner Colum Willis having to do with cutting funding for specialized training that that Marion County, Polk County was planning to do, having to do with gender dysphoria. So I should probably define that for you. How's it defined
in
law? So gender dysphoria is the underlying distress when a person identifies their gender as other than the one on their birth certificate. So there's a psychological distress, right? So they're identifying as a different gender. All right. So the issue is that Commissioner Willis said, I don't think we should fund this. I think there's questions, and I don't think the training that is scheduled is really our role. And the complaint was filed by board member Jackie Haddon. So she's the director, actually, of Valley Mental Health. So that's a, you know, Salem Behavioral Health Clinic, and filed a complaint against Commissioner Willis, saying that his actions violated non-discrimination policies for the county commissioners, and he should be taken off the board.
That's pretty severe.
Tell me where the discrimination is. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought his comments and his the issues that he rose were prudent and pragmatic.
Yeah.
And fair. All right, but to be fair to Haddon, her quote, our role as behavioral BCN board members is not to determine what part of our member population deserve high quality services and what part of our population do not, based on our individual beliefs. She wrote in a letter, and that letter goes to the commission, Polk County Commissioner Craig Pope, who's the chair of the network board. So Colin Willis, and again, I want to thank Colin Willis and for San Bertano for stating things that don't go with the flow of what's happening in the room, what's happening nationally, and just saying, hey, let's raise these questions and put a hold on this. Quote from Colin Willis, I would never discriminate against a transgender individual, and I did not do so in the meeting. Basically saying these are budget decisions based on values, and he's trying to do that to best of his abilities. His concern is really, and this goes back several times in the article with the Salem Reporter, is that children is a different conversation.
Right.
Quote, there's a number of studies on this that show most children who experience feelings of not being comfortable in their biological sex grow out of those feelings as they grow older. So I think if you start hurting kids' biology during that time, that can have lifelong detrimental effects.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like he hates children, doesn't it?
No.
That sounds like he hates kids going through, you know, some psychological issues during adolescence, doesn't it?
I think we all did, though. Didn't we? Didn't we?
Well, we all did, right? And we all do.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound to me that he's
sometimes
advocating.
It goes into adulthood.
Sometimes you have to be 50. it doesn't sound to me like he's advocating for discrimination.
No.
That's where sometimes you just have to step and go, what? This is not, hello?
SMH. Just shake my head.
There's acceptance. There's tolerance. Then there's public policy. You know, there's discrimination. It's just like, can't we really just have a discussion about, I don't know. It's good. The complaint is going over the top, I think, and hopefully it won't go very far.
It seems like society has lost its not only sensibility, but has lost its backbone.
Yeah.
And sometimes common sense and, you know, just getting things done and afraid of offending people.
True that.
Yeah.
And
I'm not afraid to offend you at all, ever.
Clearly.
You know, we work together. We got to be able to do that.
All right. So I'm going to cycle back to that.
Okay.
In a second. Colin Willis, Commissioner of Marion County, what I said in the meeting, he quoted, was that I don't think we should be providing services that support medical transitions for children.
Good point.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's like, we go so crazy in the late 90s. My kids were early in elementary school, and all those concerns about kids being touched inappropriately, and you know, you can't touch the kids, don't be touching, and blah blah blah. I'm like, I'm sorry, but my kid is 5, my kid is 7, whatever. He falls down on the playground and he's hurting and he's crying. If you do not hug him, then that's neglect and abuse,
right?
Like, come on, people.
Compassion.
It's like not everybody is a sinister child molester.
No.
Like, come on. Just don't go overboard. Just protect my child, but don't even touch them. And under no circumstance can you touch a child. It's like, that's just crazy, people.
What happened to discipline, too?
What? Whole nother topic.
Whole nother show.
All right. So the staff feels as though that the providers that you're giving these counseling need training and education. You know, the concern for Commissioner Willis is that sometimes that this information and the training and the counseling is coming from OHSU.
Mm.
And OHSU is the provider that steers people towards gender re-identification surgery. And so, I just don't think we should be in the business. The county should be in the business of promoting and advocating and recruiting for our people who want to change their gender.
Correct.
I don't think I'll go to my grave with total confusion of why the U.S. government, through its military, needed to pay for that traitor in prison that went through Chelsea Manning, right? Anyway,
well, I know
the traitor,
you're talking
and incited in prison that he wasn't a man anymore, and so wanted, and we taxpayers paid for it.
I'm still confused to how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Anyway, Had was worried about less.
I thought traitors were taken out and just shot. They don't do that anymore.
That's Russia. I'm pretty sure that's.
Oh,
Russia.
It's Russia. Got it.
Cuba and whatever.
So they don't go to jail for life.
Traitors? Yeah. It's still one of the few federal things that does have the death penalty, but when was the last time we saw it?
Why have the death penalty and not use it?
Yeah.
See, I don't get that. I like Texas. They use it still.
Anyway, so moving on. I just think that we need to separate in the discussion, folks. What is policy? What is budget? What is priorities? If we're going to have X number of dollars of resources, and it can go to serving the 95%, or it could be serving
99%.
You know, then it's everything. Whether it's which roads in Marion County need paved, and actually those dollars versus jail dollars, and those jail dollars versus behavioral health dollars, and all of these things.
Priorities.
I do believe, folks, before I get the cards and letters, that we need more resources in mental health, behavioral health, and Marion Polk County. Right? There's mental health issues in my family, my immediate family, my extended family. I get it. I'm going to preach it. And we do need help. We need help to help solve the homeless.
Yes.
Now, there's going to be no solution. We need help to help provide for the homeless.
That would help. That would make a major step in the right direction.
Resources is important.
Yeah.
Now, would I prioritize specialized training to come out of the Marion County budget? I'm sitting here to tell you no. I agree with Commissioner Colum Willis. And I agree with Sam Brentano. And they want to take that funding away from that specific purpose. They're not even saying don't do the training. They're saying find another jurisdiction. They recommended the state do the training for all the counties.
And that makes sense.
That we shouldn't have the training, or we should not serve the population. And this overreaction thing.
It's total overreaction.
So cycling back to what you're talking about is, you know, in America, it's hard to discuss anything without the Twitterverse going and attacking, right? So I saw something. It was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and had a picture of his kids playing by the pool, and he had a three-year-old daughter that didn't have any clothes on, didn't have a swimsuit. Their shoes straight, right?
Right.
But he posted it on social media and got blasted and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's what they want to make news stories out of. That's what they want to make news stories, because he received a lot of criticism. Well, folks, come on. Anybody with a phone and an IQ of 10 can have a Twitter account,
right,
and blast something. It doesn't mean they have a valid point. Where people are so quick to apologize and so quick to do the mea culpas when they didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Personally, I would not post that picture that Dwayne The Rock Johnson did. But, you know, there's some people came to his defense, and it's like, hey, you know, we all run around naked when we're 3 years old. It's like, this is not a big deal. Not a big deal. Culturally, this and that.
He was just showing his family having fun.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
So in America, though, they are quick to throw epithets. And this is what bothers me about people who are not falling off the left side. I mean, we talked about this in Newsmakers before. If you missed the show, a long rant about Tom Brokaw and having to apologize for giving good advice, right?
Yeah.
Good advice to immigrants. It recommended that immigrants to America made an effort to make learn English.
Yes.
And he ended up apologizing and attacking him as ignorant and insensitive and racist. And it's like, hey, Tom Brokaw, he's on the left's edge, folks. He's one of you. This is just really rational, prudent advice for any immigrant to any country. Any immigrant to any country.
Yeah.
If I move to Chad, I'm going to learn the local language.
Right.
If I learn to Thailand, it doesn't matter. If a German moves to Argentina, it doesn't matter. It's good advice. You want to take in the culture and take full opportunities of the economic opportunities, the social opportunities, the cultural opportunities. Learn the language of the land. and Tom Brokaw apologized instead of educated. Folks, this is not racist. This is a good advice.
Mm-hmm.
I want, you know, he's pro-immigrant, right?
Right.
So he wants them to have the full experience and all of the benefits. And he said, this is the way to do it. Don't apologize. It goes on and on. We're going to take a break. Shall we take a break?
Yeah.
Let's talk about some fun thing. We come back to the break.
It's getting a little warm in here.
Oh, goodness. A lot of hot air here at Newsmakers. I'm Brent DeHart, talking with Dave, and this is 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery. Better get out there quickly, too, because I heard that the last one that they sell, the hanging baskets, and then they close their doors.
I like that. A lot of free time during the summer. You get to shut down and maybe plant some things and have some time off in those beautiful Oregon summers.
You know, they expanded their greenhouses from 3 to 5, and they still are still out. That's how good quality they are.
And, you know, I was in Polk County last night, and at one of the wineries out there. So many wineries out there in mm-hmm. Polk County and Southern Yamhill County.
Maybe we
County.
Need to broadcast
I've
from
been
there.
To two. Yeah. Yes. if we're sampling the wares here at Zuchesite Winery.
Right.
Anyway, one was kind of a trade, a wine industry meeting, and one was a wedding a couple of times. There's so many just spectacular venues out there. If you yeah. like, if you like wine, or if you even just like kind of tolerate wine, you take a wine tour out there. It's hard to imagine that we could overstate the importance of the wine industry to our economy in Western Oregon. I mean, anyway, last night was just a surprise. I'm like, I've never been heard of this place. It's off the main road. It's off Highway 99. And I go back. I'm like, oh, look, there's a pond. And oh, look, there's, you know, a basketball court, and look, there's this barn, and there's the barrel room, and there's the the winery room, and there's the tasting room, and it's just a really nice venue. It's spectacular.
Nice.
I'm like, all these gems out there, I clearly do not get out enough.
None of us do.
Right. Well, you do.
I try and get out as much as possible, but geez, you know, you have so many things you can do and not enough time.
All right, so I got one question. It's completely off the wall. This is
please,
like, this is,
lay it on me.
All right, because we were talking this week about the home improvement stores and the bags,
yes,
and what have you, and it reminded me of, you know, all of our discussions about voting with your pocketbook and what you like as a consumer.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
How do you feel about self checkout?
I like it
at the grocery store.
Yeah.
At a home improvement store.
Both of them. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like them.
No. I have to clarify, if I go in for a couple of items, then self-checkout. If I'm going major shopping, I got a full-on cart, mm-hmm. then I'm going through the regular line.
I haven't found that it saved me any time. I mean, I would say...
Well, I'm not looking for the saving the time. I've just, you know, couple of items, scan, pay, I'm out.
Boy, more than half the time, I got an item that doesn't scan, I got something that doesn't weigh.
What are you shopping
they
for?
They don't like... I don't know. It's just I'm a bad consumer or something. I don't know. Anyway, that's kind of off the wall. But I
got to make sure they got a scanning code on it.
At a depot type store, at a massive warehouse type yeah. store, it's like you're going to let people ring themselves up. And there's still an employee standing there. And I don't know. As a consumer, I'm like, I don't love it.
Come help me?
I don't love it. Yeah. And I haven't found that it saves me any time. So why would I do it myself? If it saves me time, like self-serve gasoline...
Yes.
Like put the hose in, take the hose out, hang it up, and go.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Slide that. Sometimes I'm impatient, and I just want that. Slide the card, hose in, hose out, leave. And sometimes I can do that before the gasoline attendant saunters over and manages to get to me because they were helping with the propane or they were ringing up somebody's Slurpee or, you know, something else.
I got the same thing. I set them up before they get there. They're like, what They're like, what do you need? I said, fill it with premium, and it's all ready to go.
Yeah. It helps that I, you know, have done this before.
Because I'm a little bit
You're
of a hurry.
Hawaiian. You were Hawaiian, so yeah. You pumped your own gas.
I pumped my own gas. I lived in Washington as well.
All right, there's a topic we really got to hit, and maybe we're going to have to tease it a little bit and carry it into next week, because it's probably, you know, half a show at least.
Really?
But maybe all the listeners can look this up. And a Silverton developer is trying to develop homes inside a recently annexed area of Silverton. And he was turned down by the planning commission. And then he appealed to the city council, which is the appropriate venue. And then they got turned down by the planning commission. And
they, what?
Because, well, not to turn down, but they were wanted him to do a lot of exactions, they call it in the industry, where they have to pay for impacts of his development. And the impacts were out of scale, too much for what he was trying to do.
Really?
So he appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals, folks. LUBA. If you're not familiar with LUBA, then that is an acronym that you should be at least passively aware of. Land Use Board of Appeals. Most of the appeals fail. LUBA is used as a hammer by activists who want to shut down something, and they appeal it because anybody can appeal it. One thing wrong with our land use system is you can just go in and say, hey, you approved this guy to build this duplex or this house or this subdivision, and I want to appeal that decision. And then everything stops until it goes through a process, even if you're going to lose it. Even wow. You don't have to have grounds. You don't have to be a party to. You don't have to be a neighbor. You don't have to be a property owner. You don't have to be anything. You can just
that's just wrong.
That's how it works in Oregon. And so a lot of things are, well, we're looking at this right now with the Costco lost their ability to build, or the developer lost their ability to build for Costco in South Salem, right?
Right.
Well, that's going to be, the developer's going to appeal to LUBA, and they should absolutely prevail. And it's not that it should, but I mean, I would anticipate them being prevailing, although most appeals to the Land Use Board of Appeals. So you go into, you don't like what the city said or the county said in your local jurisdiction, you appeal it to the state. Developer won. So the city was requiring him to put in transportation improvements that would cost over $2 million.
Ouch.
They said, I can't be forced to be doing that. And he won.
Good.
Yeah. And it was, it's important. It's important that he went through it. Nobody likes to litigate. Nobody, and he admits, I kind of like to keep a low profile. I didn't want to go to LUBA, but.
Right.
It was a very.
Sometimes they just step all over you, and they don't need to.
It was an It's a really interesting case, folks. And the reason it's interesting, one, it's one of the rare times where the appeal prevailed at LUBA, right? And two, usually LUBA says, "Hey, go kick it back to the city, and the city needs to redetermine this or needs to make changes into this decision." Da da da. They didn't do that this time. That's called a remand. Where they've remanded back to the city to make a decision.
Right.
This time they didn't remand and say, hey, city, look at it again. They ordered the city to approve it.
Nice. That had to have been shocking.
Yes. I mean, he didn't anticipate it. His land use attorney didn't anticipate it. We thought we'd get a remand so they could look at it again.
And wow.
Instead they said, don't look at it again. Just approve it as it was applied for.
Good for them.
It was fair. He put a package on the pit, and he is putting money into the system.
Excellent.
It's just not the extra $10 million. I'm Brent DeHart. You've been listening to Newsmakers. We're here with Dave Bourne, and I hope you join us tomorrow. And thanks again to Jackie Winters, all of us for mourning her today.
Absolutely. I'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.